हरे कृष्ण नमः ओम विष्णु पराय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यादेशधारिणे। दया श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Nityai Gaura Hari Bal, Hari Bal, Hari Bal, Nityai Gaura Hari Bal. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Pirivaraja Kacharya Sri Sata Sisi Mati Rani Goswami Sivayan Grace Sisi Bhaktanda Swarma Srila Prabhupada ki Anant Guri Vaishnava Rinda ki Iskon Guru Vinda ki Iskon Furniture Srila Prabhupada ki Prem Sri Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitana Paramitananda Shweti Girar Har Shuzri Gaur Bhakta Vinda ki Shri Shri Rara Krishna Gopa Gopina Acham Kundrara Kundgi Gurana ki Vrindhaman Dhamma Kira, Mathura Dhamma Kira, Jaganapuri Dhamma Kira, Jaganath Swami Kira, Gangamaya Namai Kira, Kutsre Bhakti Devi Kira, Srila Prabhupada Chansa Bhakti Sivushan Kira, Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Kira, Kut Pramanandi, Samaira Bhakta Vinda Kira, Agarisa Sangravotis, Agarisa Sangravotis, Agarisa Sangravotis, Agarisa Agarisa Shri Guru Guranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Hare Krishna. Welcome everybody to the Welcome to all of you to the 5-day leads course on book distribution, leadership and management. I'm your course facilitator. My name is Navin Anirada Das. I'm from Zurich, Switzerland, joined ISKCON in 1984, and been trying to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission as a book distributor in the last 26 years. Been serving as the GBC Minister for Book Distribution before Vijay Prabhu for 8 years on the GBC body, and now mainly engaged in training and education for book distributors and future leaders of ISKCON and traveling the world, based out of Mayapur, but pretty much on the road. So I'm very honored and happy to be back here in Tirupati. By the grace of Shri Radha Govinda, Balaji, Narevati Raman Prabhu, and Bhakti Bringa Bhagavat Maharaj. So I'm very happy to be able to serve you in some small capacity in this Leeds course. We have two courses which will be taught in one. This is a buy one, get two combo, special package deal. Because as the minister, I devised the course. There's a 3-day intro course, there's a 5-day graduate course, which is actually mandatory for all book distributors, and there's a 3-day leadership course. Now, since most of you are not full-time book distributors, we have combined the 3-day leadership course and the 5-day graduate course into one course of 5 days. We have dropped some of the more technical, more detailed stuff, and we have added some elements which are more relevant to leaders, to managers, for planning, for sustaining, and supporting book distribution, which is mainly your field of activity. There is 5 days. Before we get into the 5 days, what I'd like to do is, I like to go through the schedule just so you have the basic outline. Today we started a little bit late because a lot of us were just arriving last minute and things had to get set up. So we ran about 10 minutes late behind schedule. But usually we're pretty punctual, meaning we start on time and we finish on time. This is the commitment I'm going to take towards you. I hope you can also honor this commitment. We'll run from 10 to 1 and from 2 to 5. And there's always a 15-minute break in these 3 hours. So you have time to walk around, use the restroom,
like that.
Water is available. You have your course materials. Any other logistics or things which are not working out, please see, what's your good name? Balabhadra Madhavadas. And if it still doesn't work out, then you see myself. So, today we're going to focus on the identity and character of a book distributor. That's the first day. Second day, we're going to get into basic skills, psychology of book distribution, customer care, and assessing our performance. Now, some of the modules will be more theoretical and some will be more practical. And then usually about 1 to 1.5 lessons will be workshops. We will see some videos of distributors, how to do, how not to do, all these different kind of things. Because you have to be the quality control. You are the ones who are supposed to know how it's done. You may not be a book distributor yourself who has done decades on the street, but you have to be able to do the quality control. Like I'm sure you're already doing now in your centers, no? You can't do everything, but you have to know what is spot checking. So simply by checking one grain of rice, you know whether the pot is cooked or overcooked or not yet ready. So in this way, you will be able to assess the performance of the devotees. That is very important. Then on day three, we'll get into different methods of book distribution, different styles, also external and internal challenges which everybody is facing, lifestyles and standards, and sources of strength and inspiration of book distributors. On day four, we'll get into the management part, already slightly on day three, but mainly on day four and five, the management and leadership part. So there we're going to focus on teamwork, competition, organizational skills, delegation and empowerment, time management, communication, becoming a leader, trust and trustworthiness, correcting improper behavior, different types of power, management versus leadership, appreciating people, encouragement, and follow-up and making new devotees. That is day number four. Pretty packed day. So depending on how fast we go through, the modules are kind of set, but if we see that something is really clear and we can move on, then we'll spend more time with other issues. We're kind of flexible, because this is not a beginner's course. This is not ABCs here. We're talking already a certain level of proficiency. That's why the pace, the format, the consistency is a certain pace, which I'm sure you can handle, but it is not what we do in an introductory class or when we deal with the congregation or with new people, where we mainly try to inspire them about, you know, take some books and share them with people. This is beyond that stage. You're already experienced, you know what the job is, and that you want to spread the movement. Then day number five, towards a bright future, we'll talk about integrated preaching strategies. Because book distribution is not an end in and of itself, but it's part of a bigger preaching strategy. So we'll talk about integrated preaching strategies. So you're here in the boardroom. You're also taking part in the seminar, Prabhuji? Please sit on the table. Today everybody's a GBC. You're all sitting with the big boys. So we'll talk about cooperation and integration with other ISKCON services, interdependence between different departments, how they're dependent on each other. Books are the basis. Then we'll also have time for questions and answers. There will be some issues and topics, sometimes hot topics who come up, but we don't have the time to deal with them. So we'll make a car park, we put it there, and we'll deal with it on day number five. If you have any questions during the course, please just raise your hand, and we'll take your question. And if you have mobile phones, please switch them off or put them in silent mode. Unless you're a heart surgeon, then then you're okay. People have to survive, no? Then we're going to speak about prospects for book distributors. Is there a life after book distribution? What do we do with the older distributors? What are they going to do? How can they serve the mission? How are they part of the team? Well, and then where do we go from here? What's the next step? How do we start implementing what we have learned in our own lives, in our own temples and centers, in our own communities? We'll talk about support systems and training for book distributors. And there will be a short test. It's not a difficult test, but there will be a short test in day number 5. And after that, we'll take feedback and evaluation. Is there any questions to the schedule? Okay. So we move on. First, before we get into the course, there's some norms for classroom behavior. You have them in your student handbooks on page number 4. Number 1, all members of the group are equal. That means no special status. That means, for instance, this is a classroom environment. As such, you are all students. Nobody can say, hey, I joined 2 weeks before you joined, so my opinion counts more than your opinion. Or, you know, I have 50 people in my congregation. You only have 5. So what I say is more, you know, it's 10 times more important than what you have to say. You know, like, we're making so much money, you're only making so much money. Or I'm wearing whatever. You understand this point? Can you all agree on this? Now, when we step out of the classroom, then again, there is seniority, junior, positions, all that. But right now here, we're in a classroom environment. For the sake of the class, we have to become students or teachers. Now, I'm physically junior to many of you, even spiritually junior. But by your mercy, you have appointed me as your teacher, and you've empowered me. So I am serving you as your teacher. So as such, I'm taking a role. So if you don't feel comfortable with this, please raise your hand, because it's very important. Otherwise, it will be difficult to get into the mood of the exercises. Number 2, all contributions are valid and valued, regardless of whether one agrees with them or not. Which means, in other words, sometimes people make points and we may not agree with them, but we still value them because everybody is entitled to their own opinion. So we can have discussion, we can have arguments, we can have differences of opinion. That has to be allowed. It is not my way or the highway. Because in a certain level, like here, we're talking the leaders. That means either you're a Kshatriya type or you're a Brahmin type. And among such class of men, there has to be the ability to openly express, to freely express their mind. If people are scared, oh, I can't say this, what will they think? You know, that we have a problem in our place, or that I am thinking like this? No. We have to be able to freely share our minds. That is required. Now, we may not necessarily agree with all the opinions which are given, but that is not the point. The point is that devotees should be allowed to share their minds, and I'm convinced that in the presence of the Vaishnavas, and by the grace of Guru Gauranga and Srila Prabhupada, the proper solutions will come out. The Siddhanta will be crystallized. Some things, like Shastra, comes down, you know. But other things, like, for instance, management or politics, teamwork, social work, sometimes these things have to be discussed, and one has to weigh it. It has to be kind of balanced. It has to come out. So, can you all agree on this? If you have any objections or anything you like to raise, then please say so. Just means people should feel comfortable to share their minds. Not that one, oh, what are you saying? You know, shut up. You can't say like this. Like if somebody says, I really strongly feel that all this subsidized business should stop. because it's ruining our reputation, it's giving it away too cheap, then he should be able to do so. Whatever goes in your mind, because I'm sure you have thought about this very deeply and for great periods of times, and you have some experience in the field. So we'd like to hear from you what you think has to be done in order to increase book distribution and preaching in ISKCON. Number three, we'll accept full responsibility for success in achieving our desired outcomes. So that means, in other words, the responsibility for achieving the desired outcome lies with who? The members. Who are the members? Everybody who's here. So not that after 5 days you say, oh, you know, I didn't really get anything out of this. You know, he didn't do a good job, or I was too tired, or I had too many other things going on. But the responsibility for achieving the desired outcome lies with everybody. If you feel we're going too fast, if you feel we're going too slow, if you feel I'm going off the topic, which I might sometimes, in order to test your patience or to see whether you're still awake, you have to say, excuse me, teacher, I think that this topic is very important, but it's off the topic. Dear chairman, you're going off the issue. Please come back to the issue. Okay? You're allowed to do so. You have to learn this art also when you're holding meetings, because everybody has a lot of stories and a lot of stuff to share, but you don't get the job done in this way. Any objections? Okay. Number four, we'll confront issues or behavior, not people. We're not going to point fingers at anybody and say what you did 8 years ago in order to build your temple or buy your land or get your van or whatever. No. We'll discuss about issues, not about people. In other words, we play the ball, not the man. It's an expression from soccer. I don't know whether that works in cricket. Like you throw the ball, you're not going to tackle the person, right? Because that's not part of the game. But sometimes you feel that, in management especially, that people don't throw the ball, they just tackle the person. And then the person gets a little shocked, you know, because he's... That's why you have to see in what kind of mood he is. No, there has to be a level of consistency. So, any questions to the norms? Good. We're moving on. Now, today, we're mainly focusing on the character of an ideal ISKCON representative. But before we get into that, I would like to hear from you three things. Your name, your service and place of service, and your expectation of this course. Is that clear? So we go around and we want to hear three things. Your name, your service, and your place of service, and your expectation from this course. And if we can have a volunteer as a scribe who has good handwriting. Please. Yes.
So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So my name is Revat Ramandas. my service is as president for ISKCON Tirupati temple, and what I expect from this course is to make more book distributors and see that we increase our book distribution.
Okay, make more book distributors, and what was the second part? I'm sorry, I lost you there.
Increase book distributors.
Okay, make more book distributors and increase book distribution. Thank you for that. Welcome. Hare Krishna, please.
Hare Krishna, my name is Vedanta Chaitanya Das. I'm serving as a temple president in Hyderabad.
Hare Krishna, welcome.
And I'm expecting to at heart transformation to happen in my own heart, and my appreciation towards book distribution should increase after this course.
Thank you for that. Change of heart and increase appreciation for book distribution. Welcome. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. My name is Amit Krishna Das. I am serving in Tirupati and then also Guntur Vidyavada. Services, book distribution, coordinating, Harinam, and my expectation is also transformation of heart. And
please state, sorry, if something has already been mentioned,
yeah,
just say the other things. What is different?
So my strong desire for many years is that every student get Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita in South India and text paper.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Welcome.
Hare Krishna. First, I have a question, Prabhu.
Yes.
Because they said there is a seminar, but I did not know that it will take the whole day. So my question is it useful to attend a half day, or is it better not to attend?
Depends.
I have,
what's your other service?
Book distribution. At. Okay.
I think it will be helpful for you to just attend.
Okay.
If I would have been able to attend this course 25 years ago, I would have paid a lot of money because it would have saved me a lot of trouble. I'm standing up here today in front of you because I have made most of the mistakes which are in the book. Also some which are not in the book. Those, you know, the unpublished ones. So you can save yourself a lot of trouble if sometimes you know, properly plan. So I think it's time well invested, and you'll be able to do big service in the future.
And my name is Bhakta Alexander, and my service book distribution, Padmavati Temple. And my expectation is that I hope that I can become an instrument for Krishna in the movement. To distribute the books and the holy name.
Thank you. You are from?
Netherlands, Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, yes.
Okay. Welcome.
My name is Chaitanya Sankirtan Das. I'm distributing.
Chaitanya Sankirtan. Haribo.
I'm doing book distribution in Radha Govind Temple and friend book.
Which temple is that?
Our temple. This is a stall. Tirupati.
Here. Okay.
My expectation is nice book distributor. I'm a nice book distributor and try to serve the all the Vaishnavas in Prabhupada movement.
Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Nateshwar Narottam Das.
Niteshwar?
Nateshwar Narottam Das.
Nateshwar Narottam.
From Salem Temple. My service is book distribution. To get more inspiration for book distribution and giving inspiration to others, I'm expecting.
Thank you.
My name is Shyam Sukhusubaladas. I am distributing book distribution here. I want to this conversation after. very good servant for Guru and Vaishnavas.
Thank you. Welcome. Hare Krishna.
My name is Kaustubh Das.
Hare Krishna.
And I do service is altar, Radha Govinda.
Jai.
And try to best book decision, Prabhupada.
Very good. Thank you for being here. Hare Krishna.
నా పేరు గోపాల్ ఎమ్ఐ దాస్. నేను గోశాల నీటి రూమ్ వర్షిప్ చేస్తాను. ఈ సెమినార్ అన్ని ఎట్లా బుక్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్ చేయాలని వచ్చాను. గెట్ ఇన్స్పిరేషన్.
యువర్ ఎక్స్పెక్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది కోర్స్.
ప్రభుస్ ఈస్ ఎక్స్పెక్టేషన్ ఈస్ హౌ టు డూ మోర్ బుక్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్ ఇన్ హిస్ టెంపుల్.
ఓకే, థ్యాంక్ యూ.
అండ్ ఈ సర్వింగ్ యాజ్ ఏ గోశాల ఇన్ఛార్జ్ అండ్ డీటీ డిపార్ట్మెంట్ ఇన్ఛార్జ్ ఇన్ తిరుపతి టెంపుల్.
వెల్కమ్.
My name is Nithyamurthy Das. I am serving as a Bhakta leader in Tirupati. And my expectation is that I want to develop the attitude of gratitude towards the messages, valuable messages given by Prabhupada in his books.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hare Krishna. My name is Bhakta Thirumal Rao. I am from ISKCON Chennai. I serve as a coordinator in Chennai ISKCON. The idea of attending this course is to know more about the service for which Prabhupada has always given more emphasis, the book distribution, and help the temple in book distribution. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Hare Krishna. My name is Ranga Krishna Das from Chennai Yatra. I am a congregation devotee there. And personally, to get myself motivated for this most pleasing service for Srila Prabhupada and to help and serve others to get motivated in the seva of the Chennai congregation.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Welcome.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. నా పేరు రామ్ బ్రహ్మ. నర్సాపేట నుంచి వచ్చాను నేను. నేను కొత్తగా వచ్చిన కాంగ్రిగేషన్ డివోటీని. మన ప్రపాదల వారి బుక్ స్టాల్కు మనం ప్రచారం చేసి ఎలాగా బాగా బుక్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్ చేయాలి, భక్తుల్ని ఎలాగా టెంపుల్కి రాబట్టుకునే దానికి ట్రైనింగ్ కోసం వచ్చాను.
Thank you. Now I'm sure you might not speak so well English, but I'm sure you understand English perfectly well. Is that correct? Huh? Or you get the translation? Otherwise, if somebody needs translation, maybe they sit close to you and they get some? Yeah. From the side, yes. That's
because he can translate.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. నా పేరు రమణారెడ్డి. నరసరావుపేట. నరసరావుపేట రమణారెడ్డి. బుక్స్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్స్ ప్రీచ్ ఎలా చేయాలని దాని గురించి వచ్చాను.
హరే కృష్ణ, వెల్కమ్.
మై నేమ్ ఈస్ తులసి గౌరదాస్.
హరిబో.
I stay with Sarvananda Prabhu. I want to help him fully to establish a full temple there by book distribution, not more life member, more book distribution.
Very good. Thank you for coming.
My name is Sarvananda Das. I am serving as a manager in Pondicherry, ISKCON. So my expectation to learn myself nicely about book distribution and do it effectively in my area.
Welcome. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I am Uddhava Chitta Das from Hosur ISKCON, serving as a temple secretary and coordinator for Bhagavad Gita Academy. Recently you launched this Bhagavad Gita Academy so that we have to give the Vedic principles and the message of Godhead to public at large. So to improve that, what way we have to do and that skills and techniques we have to get.
Thank you. What's your expectation of the course?
Yeah, we need, what are the skills and techniques, how to communicate with the people and
skills and techniques to communicate. Thank you. Welcome.
Hare Krishna. My name is Swayam Nithai Das. I'm as a temple commander in ISKCON Hosur. My expectation is to know more, learn the techniques of distributing books and to guide the other devotees how to distribute, and overall to see how far we can please Srila Prabhupada by distributing his books.
Learn, guide and please. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Welcome.
Hare Krishna. I am Srinivas Shyamdas, serving as manager in ISKCON Hosur. My expectation in this program, so far we are doing big distribution programs, but we want to learn much more with all the devotees. That is my expectation, and also I want to fulfill my desire of our teacher from this book distribution.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Welcome.
Hare Krishna, my name is Vaninath Das. I am serving DTU and also preaching. And I am expecting after this course that I want to let more devotees to know about the scriptural knowledge through book distribution. And I want to give this kind of opportunities to the future leaders also.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, bro. My name is Srinivasa Priyadas. I am doing book distribution in temple. My expectation is I want to learn how to distribute more books.
Okay. That's pretty straightforward.
Hare Krishna. So my name is Alila Parayandas. I'm doing service as a temple manager. So expectation is, so in and around Tirupati, in each and every house they should get Srila Prabhupada books and holy name by distributing books.
Very good. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I'm Vanamali Gopal Das. I'm serving as a manager at ISKCON Kumbakonam. My expectation is, actually my service is to make devotees read Srila Prabhupada books. For that we need book distribution, basically, for to make others to read Srila Prabhupada books. By that they become happy.
Read the books, live by them and distribute them.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna. And our scribe? Ah, some more members have appeared.
Hare Krishna. My name is Rupeshwar Chetandas. I want to learn this course and educate other devotees to increase book distribution.
Thank you. Welcome. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Please state your name and where you're from and your expectation of the course.
Amarendra Gauradas from ISKCON Chennai. Usually I get really involved in book distribution during marathon time. Other time it is passive book distribution. So I want to get fired up so that I can do book distribution throughout the year.
Okay, welcome. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm Sukirti Madhavi Devi Dasi from Chennai. And as this service, this book distribution service is so dear to Srila Prabhupada, is one of the most important services which he always talks about. So to get inspired and to actively get involved in book distribution, I'm here.
Get inspired and actively involved. Thank you. Welcome. Maybe we can... is it possible that everybody moves two chairs up? Just move two chairs up on this side. So ladies will have place. Okay, your name and where you're from, service, and your expectation of the course, please.
Yeah, my name is Bhaktika Devidasi. I am from Tirupati Temple. Just I want to improve my book distribution skills. That is the reason I'm attending this seminar.
Thank you. Welcome. Hare Krishna. So there is course materials. Two sets, yeah. Somebody can pass them on, please. And I like to hear from our scribe.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. My name is Balabhadra Madhav Das. I am assistant temple commander to Leela Prayan Prabhu. I am taking care of maintenance in the temple. And I am not a book distributor. So I want to learn this. And I want to help the devotees who are interested. And I want to do the book distribution by this seminar.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, I've already introduced myself. My expectation of the course is that by the end of these 5 days, we'll actually have covered these topics and we'll go out of here with full vigor and full force to implement what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do. Now, the first lesson of the day, we're going to focus on That's the second lesson. I'm sorry. Okay. For the reminder of the first lesson, we'll speak a little bit about what the activity is clear, no? What's the activity we're discussing this week? Book distribution. So what's the first question we got to ask ourselves? Before you embark on any project, what do you ask yourself? Goal, okay. What else? We have goal, we have importance, planning. Why? Why is why the first question? Please pass on the mic.
Hare Krishna. Unless we know why we have to do this, we are not going to be serious.
Unless we know why we're doing this, we're not going to be serious. Why else is why the first question? Anybody? Unless you know why you're doing what you're doing, you're not going to be doing it for very long and you're not going to be doing it very good. Just like when temple commander comes and taps you on the shoulder and says, Prabhu. You know, there's service. You got to jump. Then the response usually is, why? Why me? Why you always pick on the little guy? I'm already doing so much. So why me? Right? And that question, not only should we be asking ourselves, why am I doing what am I doing? But the people also will be asking us, why are you guys distributing books? You have beautiful temples. You got members. You got donors. You got money, you got jobs. Why do you have to go and canvas and push this literature, you know? People can go to the store and doesn't it say in Bhagavad Gita, you should not disturb the mind of the innocent? Huh? So why you go and disturb the people? Here, come on, take this book. Huh? So on a daily basis, our own mind may ask us, hey man, what are you doing here? You know, you could be doing so much important stuff. You could be making money, you could be doing management, you could be doing preaching, you could educate people, you could take care of donors and members. Why do you want to go out and waste your time standing in this train station, showing Bhagavad Gita to people? I mean, you're a manager, you're a leader, you're a mature fellow. Have you ever heard your mind talk to you like that? Never. This thought has never crossed your mind. Yes, it has. And even after going out for years and years and decades, excuse me, I got a cold. That's why I'm dressed a little warm here for the occasion. And in case you haven't noticed, the front side has no AC and the back side's got AC. So if you like AC, then this side is better. But so even after doing it for quite a few years, still, occasionally, the mind asks you, why are you doing this? I mean, you could just be running courses and teaching seminars, but why are we doing this activity? So we have to ask ourselves, before the where, the when, the how, comes the why. And that's a very fundamental question. Because people also on the street, they're going to ask you, why are you doing this? And if you don't have a good answer, number one, it makes you look like a fool. Number two, they will not take the book. They'll not be very impressed. And number three, you'll start having serious doubts about your own activity. And you won't be able to carry on. If somebody comes and asks you, why are you doing what you're doing, and you don't have a good answer, then most likely, you're going to stop doing what you're doing pretty soon. So your homework for tomorrow. Yes, you're going to get homework, believe it or not. Your homework for tomorrow is you write down the 108 reasons why you preach and why you distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. But out of those 108, I only want to hear the top five. Okay? So I know you might have 108, and I'm sure you do. But I want to hear the 5 top ones. The ones which are burning in your heart, which you really feel anxious and strong about. And they're not usually answers which you read about somewhere or you heard about somewhere, but this is like what gets you up in the morning, you know? This is like what gets you to go out there in the heat of the day. This is what gets you to make those late night phone calls. This is what moves you, what drives you. That's what I like to know from you. What gets you going? What motivates you? So that's your homework for tomorrow. Write down your top 5 reasons of why do I distribute books or why do I participate in the book distribution effort. Because whether you're out there distributing personally or you're supporting or you're managing or you're organizing or you're training, you are part of the book distribution effort. Is there any questions about why we're doing what we're doing and why we have this kind of an approach? Because many times people say, okay, let's jump to the goal, no? Let's get to the business. How do you do it, man? I mean, what do you say? What are the tricks? What are the jokes? What are the sales lines? How do you get them to give the money? How do you get the big fish to take so many books? Basically speaking, it's quite simple. Once you have something which you cherish, which you truly value, you want to share it with others. Once you have something which is more important to life, to you, which you're ready to sacrifice, which you are ready to serve for your entire lives, people will very quickly get that sense of appreciation, that deep sense of taste and value and appreciation for the books, which each and every one of you has. They will get that. And they will take it very easily. So that's why the first 2 days, or especially today, we're going to focus on the character of an ideal ISKCON representative and how we can become exemplary recipients of Srila Prabhupada's mercy and how we can represent this to the outside public. So this is the topic of today, and we're going to discuss about principles and values, about character development, becoming an ambassador of goodwill, and appreciating Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, before we have the first break of today, I'd like you to turn to your student handbooks and go to the 7 purposes of ISKCON, which are on page number 8. So when Srila Prabhupada first registered ISKCON in 66, he gave 7 purposes. Who knows all these 7 purposes by heart? Come on, Prabhus. This is why we do what we do. This is our company policy. Who knows one of them by heart? Yes.
I don't know the verbatim, but
just the meaning. Systematically propagate spiritual values and educate people. Very good. Any others? To give the knowledge of Gita and Bhagavatam to the general mass of people. Very good. Who else knows? Without looking at your student handbooks. You need some self-discipline here. Otherwise, we are going to have closed book test. No, that's on day 5. Yes?
To propagate Krishna consciousness as revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay. All right. What else?
In order to achieve the aforementioned purposes, to publish newsletters
Very good. Okay, so I can see. You already know what's going on. Now, of course, this is going to be your homework. You have to learn them by heart. And we will actually assess them. Because people, members, new people, they will walk into your temple and they will say, okay, I mean, so many people are chanting Hare Krishna, but what's the point of your ISKCON movement? Tell me, in a nutshell. And then you just tell them, these are the seven purposes. This is what we do. Like here, you have a mission statement. Huh? It's very important. And you, these are the purposes of ISKCON. You should come up with a mission statement for your centers, for your places. Because then when people come, individuals and companies and corporates and government people, and they will say, okay, what are you guys about? I mean, there's so many people who chant and dance, you know, and they do the whole thing. But I want to know what's actually your purpose. Then you just tell them, look, this is it. This is what we stand for. This is what we're trying to achieve. And you know what's good also about having mission statement? You can check all your activities, what are going on against your mission statement. And if it's not actually part of your mission statement, you should ask yourself, should we be doing this? Is this actually our job description? Because you can be doing a million things. You know, there's a lot of fun things to do in this world. But as leaders, we have to always check back with our principles and values, with our mission statement, and with our seven purposes of ISKCON. Because if it's not in our charter, then maybe we shouldn't be doing it. So, we'd like you to read out loud seven purposes of ISKCON. And then what we're going to do is, we're going to have a concert here. And we will hear whether this is related to book distribution. And if it's related a little bit, we're going to do like the cows too, no? Huh? So, if it's related to book distribution, you go loud. You know, moo. Huh? Or shall we do Haribo? Huh? We'll have a vote. Who wants cows? And who wants Haribo? I think the Haribo won. Anyway, you can still go moo if you like. So, who has a microphone and would like to read the first of the seven purposes, please?
Number one, to systematically propagate the spiritual knowledge to a society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world.
Is this related to book distribution? Yeah, it is. Okay. Number two,
to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you. Number three,
to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus developing the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead Sri Krishna.
Okay. Number four.
To teach and encourage the Sankirtana movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Haribo! Okay.
To erect for the members and for the society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna.
Now you're just saying Haribo because you're devotees and you like to say Haribo. But how is this related to book distribution? You heard that? By distributing books, you can build a temple. Just like this place here, where we're sitting right now. This is a holy place. This is a Tirtha. because this place is being built by the distribution of Prabhupada's books. So this is a legacy. This is a legacy, a showcase, which shows everybody in the whole world that if you want to build a temple, this is how you can do it. This is how you can do it in a very sustainable, in a very wholesome, in a very exemplary way. So sometimes we see things as separated, as distant. We say, no. You know, books is books, and deities is deities, and cows is cows, and members is members, and let everybody worry about their own problems, right? Because everybody has enough problems in life. Isn't it? Don't make my life more difficult, man. I already have enough to worry about. Huh? But you know what happens? If you actually start to see how, we'll get to that later on in day number 5, but just to have a little glimpse of the future. If you actually start to see how everything is interrelated and everything is interdependent, then you will see that actually we're all sharing the same problems and we're all sharing the same concerns and we're all sharing actually the same mission. And that we're not running in 4 different directions, but we're actually pulling on the same rope, on the same string. Like when you go on Rath Yatra, everybody has to pull on the same rope, right? Because otherwise it's not going to happen. So in the same way, whether you're a pujari, or you're taking care of the cows, or you're taking care of the new bhaktas, or you're doing management, or you're taking care of members, or you're taking care of the congregation, you're all pulling in the same direction. You're all trying to do the same thing. Number 6.
Sixth purpose, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler, more natural way of life.
Thank you. And number 7.
With a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, books and other writings.
I don't hear any cows. What happened to the cows? Huh? The cows are tired. They're regurgitating. They're, you know how many stomachs a cow has? Who takes care of cows? 4. And most of the time, if they're not eating the grass, they're regurgitating. They take it up and chew on it and put it back down. Cow has 4 stomachs. So, now we have the 7 purposes. This is what Srila Prabhupada wrote down in 1966. This is what he wanted us to do. This is the job description. This is what he has given to us. Like sometimes now in ISKCON we wonder, you know, what's the job description of a GBC? What's the job description of a guru? What's the job description of a temple president? And then you come up with a, like 50-page document and everybody goes like, wow. I have to be a pure devotee. I mean, I can't do this. Isn't it? Huh? It's like, well, where do we start? What's the foundation? What are the foundational principles? Let's start with what Prabhupada has given us. He already wrote it down. These are the 7 purposes of ISKCON. And now, we have spent quite some time to find out what are the aims of book distribution. Because in order to see how does book distribution fit into this bigger picture, what's the actual aim? You know aim? You know what an aim is? An aim is like a goal, like something you envision, something you strive for. Because many times people are asking, what's the point? You've given out millions of books. Why do we need more books? Why don't we just take care of the temples? Why don't we just take care of the people who are there? So we sat down when we wrote this course. There was quite a number, a large number of people involved in writing this course. It happened in the early 90s, and we got all the input, all the knowledge, all the experience from all these devotees, and we made a course out of it. So this is like the boiled, condensed milk from all the devotees who were involved in this curriculum development. There was quite a number of book distributors, quite a number of preachers, quite a number of managers and leaders, and a number of educators who put it into format. So we're going to turn to page number 9 of your student handbooks, and we're going to focus on the aims of book distribution. So maybe we can pass the mic over to this side and we go through the aims of book distribution. Just read them out loud. Where are the microphones?
To fulfill the desires of Srila Prabhupada and the parampara for mass book distribution.
Okay. Now if you have any objection, if you feel like, hey, whoa, wait a minute, you know, I don't agree with this, then please raise your hand. It's not that we're going to shoot you down or that we're going to single you out, but if you feel that something is not, you know, really the way it should be, then you please say so. Because silence means consent. You understand? If you don't say anything and you just nod your head, that means you agree. That means you take the responsibility. Okay, please.
Number two, to introduce the large numbers of people to the philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness, thus providing spiritual education and opportunities to engage in devotional service.
Thank you. Number three.
To make available that knowledge by which society can be successfully organized to meet everyone's needs, both material and spiritual.
Thank you. Number four.
To directly engage people in the service of Lord Krishna.
Thank you. Number five.
Number five. To begin the process of devotional exchange between the society and the individual members of the public.
Thank you.
Number six. To provide further information on opportunities for devotional service through continued interaction with the society.
Thank you.
Number seven, for self-purification.
Thank you.
Number eight, to create auspiciousness in society.
Thank you.
Number nine, to firmly establish the authenticity of ISKCON.
Thank you. And 10.
To contribute towards a healthy economic foundation for each temple or preaching program.
Number 11, to offer financial support to international ISKCON projects.
Thank you.
Number 12, to establish the understanding that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to deliver the world from the clutches of atheism and impersonalism.
Thank you. So these are the 12 aims which we came up. I'm sure that you can come up with your own aims and you have some more thoughts about the matter. That's why we have given you a notepad and a pen. So your homework for tomorrow is, number one, write down your five reasons why you engage in book distribution and you support book distribution. Number two, go through the aims of book distribution and, you know, meditate about them. Just take it in. Think about it. If you have additional notes and commentaries, write them down. Okay. Homework is clear. So we're going to break here. Or do you want to do it at 11:30? What's your usual? Has to be 11:30 or? What's happening in 11:30? Oh, that will only be ready by 11:30. Can we have it ready by 11:15 for tomorrow? Okay. All right. Ready. Krishna fulfills all the desires. We have to be careful what we desire, what we wish for. One time, I was in Mayapur, and I saw one Gurukuli, one student, youngster. He had an iPod Nano. You know, it's 16 GB, all of Prabhupada's lectures. And a little thing, you know. Formerly, iPods would be these huge things, you know, that if you, you know, throw it, you really cause damage. But now, it's this little thing. We don't throw iPods. It's just a joke. So, and I just saw it, and I just thought, oh, this looks nice. You know, that kind of look. And the next day, my old friend and BBT trustee from Sweden, Brahma Muhurta, he came to Mayapur and he gave me a gift. And what was in there? iPod Nano. And it said Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And it had my name on it, engraved. You know? At first I was very happy. But then on a second thought, I was a little sad about myself. Because I saw that consciousness creates reality. Whatever it is that you are conscious about, whatever it is that you wish for, it will happen. It will come true. So we better make sure that we are Krishna conscious and that we desire the right things. Because otherwise what will happen, like in the play by Goethe called Faust, who knows Goethe? You heard of Goethe? You heard of Faust? Huh? Where the person is lamenting and saying that all these spirits and ghosts and all these people who have called to help me, now I can't get rid of them anymore. So all the things which we have wished for, they may haunt us and they may trouble our lives. So we have to be clear in what is it that I want in my life. You know why? Because Krishna will make them come true. Krishna actually only has two questions to us. I heard that from a quite mature devotee who has been through a lot in his life, Prabhupada disciple. He said, Krishna wants to know two things from you. Number one is, what do you want? And number two is, are you finished with your business here? That's the two questions Krishna has. Now, if you still have a lot of issues, then you still have a lot of work to be done. He wants to know two things. What is it that you want? And are you finished with your business here in the material world? Thank you for your patience. Hare Krishna. We'll break here and we'll be back at 11:30 sharp for the second session of today. Srila Prabhupada ki. So there is juice outside for those who still desire juice. Pace is okay? Thank you.
You used to write articles in BTG?
Yeah. Long time back. When I was young. Now I'm getting old and lazy. Now I only shout. I don't bother about writing. No, they were very choosy, you know. Very difficult. Because they have very specific focus on who they want to target. It's not such an easy... The literary world is not such an easy field. Student crowd is more rewarding. If you could just give them material and they publish, that would be one thing, but most of the times they... Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Welcome back to the second session of the seminar on book distribution, leadership and management. Thank you for staying with us and being back on time. So, Srila Prabhupada says, there is no doubt about it, to distribute books is our most important activity. The temple is not a place for eating and sleeping and drinking juice, but a base from which we send out our soldiers to fight with Maya. Fight with Maya means to drop thousands and millions of books into the lap of our conditions, of the conditioned souls. Just like during wartime, the bombs are raining from the sky like anything. Srila Prabhupada ki! Yeah. Do you all know this book, Nectar of Book Distribution? Who has read the book, Nectar of Book Distribution? Raise your hand. Okay, those who have not read it, this is your homework for this week. You know, Krishna consciousness should be susukam kartum avyayam. You have to have some fun. Because if you're very serious, you'll attract some serious people. But if you're serious and you're funny, you'll attract so many more people. Because people are looking at your face, like you show them the book, and you say what you have to say. And then there is that moment of silence. And they say, are you for real? Is this really the way it is? Are you sure? It's called the moment of truth. Huh? And they look at you. And when they see a smiling face, then what's the conclusion? Yes, it works. Because he's happy. But if you say, hey, you, this book will make you happy. Will make you so happy. I mean, look at me. I'm so happy. Take it, man. Take it. Then the person might say, you know what? I think you should go and you should read your book yourself. A person might say, excuse me, my dear sir, but my life was okay till I met you. But now I feel slightly disturbed. So, our first and foremost duty is to be happy in Krishna consciousness. You can write that down, if you like. Our first and foremost duty is to be happy in Krishna consciousness. Because nothing is as attractive as a devotee who is happy in Krishna consciousness. And of course, nothing is more attractive than success. So we all want to be successful in Krishna consciousness. And that means chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That's the simple formula Srila Prabhupada gave us. And if we stick to that, so many people will become attracted. And they will say, hey, whatever it is that you have, I want it also. So what do I have to do to get that smile? Can you tell me? You tell them, yes, here is 10 Bhagavad Gitas. You can help. It's very easy, no? And you'll be surprised how many of your members, how many of your devotees, how many people will say, okay, if this is what it takes, then I'm in. I'll do it. Huh? So, now we're going to speak about principles and values. Whatever we do in our lives is based on principles and values. You know what a principle is? Like every school's got a principal. And it should be a person who has principles. Because a principal is something Who can define a principle? Do we have any English teachers here? What does principle mean? Can somebody explain a principle? Who can give an example of what is a principle?
Like a north pole, it's fixed.
It's fixed. It's not going to change. Like for instance?
North pole.
What goes up must come down. It's fixed. Law of gravity. It's just a given. It's a fact. You can't argue it. You can say what you like. You can say, I want this to stay up, but it's still going to fall down. Because it's a principle. It's a given fact. It's an understood. And value, who can explain what a value is? Value means something which you value, something which you take dearly, something which has importance to you. Like, for instance, your money. You value it. That's why you keep it safe. That's why you take care of it properly, because you value it. It's a value. So, principles and values, everything we do in our life is reflecting our principles and values. We do what we do because we have principles and values. Now, a person who's got no principles or no values, it's very difficult, you know, to actually have an ongoing, dependable, reliable exchange with this person. Because their set of norms and rules always changes. One day it's like this, one day it's like that. So we'll get into practical issues here. This is not just a theory lesson. We're going to go through the principles and values of which are related to book distribution. And what we're going to do is, we're going to read them out. And I'd like to hear from you. Practical experiences from your own lives where this principle or value was followed and what happened, or it was not followed, it was neglected, and what was the outcome of that. Do you understand the point? So we're going to go through the principles and values of book distribution, and I'd like to hear from you practical examples of your own lives or the lives of people who you know, what happened when they followed this, or if they did not follow. It can go either way, positive or negative. So these are the 10 statement of principles and values. Effective book distribution is based on long-term vision, customer care, devotee welfare, accurate representation, ideal character, honesty, sound spiritual practice, regular study, harmony with other services, and systematic training and education. This is on page number 6 of your student handbooks. You have the unpacked. 5 is just the bullet points, and 6 and 7 is unpacked and explained. So, I'd like you to read out loud. Point number 1, please.
Point number 1, long-term vision. The long-term results of book distribution are more important than short-term benefits. Interaction with the public at the cost of the society's reputation is therefore counterproductive.
Do you have any practical example? Do you have any practical story or something you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, as it is mentioned here, interaction with the public interactive. So when we approach the people in offices or in different places, so as you explained that the smiling face, and then also we have to see they're busy, and according to that we have to approach them. Otherwise there will be some negatives, results and positive results also there, so that we have to understand the mood and situation.
Anybody has some practical story they like to share, positive or negative? What happened when this principle and value was followed, or what happened when it was not followed? Some case, yes.
Yeah. One of our devotees, Grace Murli Ram Das Prabhu, when he went to approach the schools, so there the headmaster, he was very busy, but he don't know, this devotee don't know, just he entered. So that headmaster immediately told that he didn't open, looked at him also. He said, no, please get out, don't come. Just like he told and he sent him out. Even he didn't give any chance to talk with him. And this was happened in last year, a book distribution marathon. And this time, marathon, he went. So while he's entering the school, that office, so that headmaster, he came up and he said, oh, Hare Krishna, devotees, oh, Vaishnava has come, please come. He's bringing and offering the seat to him and asking that, how are you, in which way I can serve you. And then he told that one of your devotee, he came and he presented me Srimad Bhagavatam. After reading Srimad Bhagavatam, I got more inclined. I purchased all the books of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I understood that Krishna is more more dear to the devotees, and particularly Vaishnavas, so that I like to serve them. So I want to become one of your member in your society, so that now he is practicing. So earlier he was not, the interaction was, when he approached, that mood and situation was bad. And after some devotee approached him, he gave him Bhagavatam book.
But the first devotee, he just left, or he argued with
him? No, he didn't argue. Just he understood the mood and he came back. The same devotee, he went after 1 year.
Okay.
So he's getting the second time experience, he's getting only positive.
So what can we learn from this? Sometimes you're faced with the scenario that you know, if I would push now, he would buy. But later on, he will regret. He will give you the money and you will walk out and you have your score and you have your money. But next time, when he sees you, what does he feel? Oh, you know, this guy last time, I was kind of, you know, there was other people around and I didn't want to show and this and that, and he pushed me, and next time he sees you, he might not want to have anything to do. But this time, because the devotee had long-term vision, he saw, okay, maybe he's not ready now. Let me give it some time. 1 year passed. He gave it 1 year time. And what was the result? That person not only took Bhagavatam, he took the set, but he actually wanted to become a member. Sometimes we meet people, they're just not in the right state of mind. They're too busy with doing something different. And they don't want to deal with you. So don't force them. Sometimes they're just not ready, they're not ripe. Like if you're a farmer and you go into your tree and you check the fruits, your mango is not ripe. And what do? You rip the mango from the tree and you break the branch? No. You wait. Because you know, give it some time, it will become ripe. So all the people out there, some of them are ripe mangoes, some of them are green mangoes. Give it little sunshine, little water, little bit of affection from the devotees, they will become mature. So when we go out on preaching, we should be like the expert gardener who is just checking the mangoes. So because that devotee had long-term vision, that person became favorable and made a change. Somebody has some negative experience, this principle was neglected, which you like to share with us? It doesn't have to be about yourself. You can tell about somebody else. Or anonymous. I can tell you a story. Like one time, I had to declare books going from Switzerland to Germany. There is a border. And I did not declare the books. I thought, this is Krishna's money. I'm not going to give the money to the government. Why should I pay tax? I'm Krishna's devotee. We're the good guys, right? Isn't that how we all think? Who thinks we're the good guys? Are you the good guys? Yes, we're the good guys. Right? God is on our side, isn't it? So why should we pay tax? Why should we give the money to the government? So I had a whole car full of books, whole van full of books, thousands of books. The problem was that we already had customs declaration filled in, everything. It was there in the front. So when the customs officer asked me anything to declare, I said, no, nothing to declare. He said, open the van. And then that was not the bad part. The bad part was they found the customs paper already filled out. So I could not just say, hey, you know, I didn't know, you know, oh, we have to pay tax here. And they caught me. So I was a young devotee, so I was in the office, there was four officers, they really got angry, they really got on my case, and I really had to eat humble pie, you know? You know what that means, eating humble pie? Like you have to take the shoe on your head. What's the Indian expression? Do you say eating humble pie, or what do you say? I had to really, really apologize to them and say, no, please don't call the temple, otherwise they'll kick me out. It is my fault. I really apologize. I'm so sorry. So, okay, they accepted. I had to pay the money and a small fine, and they let me go. But because I neglected long-term vision, so these people, they didn't have a very good impression because they saw it. This is a devotee. He's got Krishna books, this and that and the other thing. So I blew it. I was immature. I thought, let's save a few thousand rupees. But what happened was some persons really got a bad impression. Are we going to speak more about that later on? Number two, customer care. Please, somebody read.
Customer care. The book distributor should endeavor to make every exchange with the public a positive experience, thus cultivating a favorable environment for continued book distribution and other preaching activities.
Any positive or negative stories which prove this principle and value? Somebody like to share with us?
Customer care. So once last month, I suppose, we were in the book distribution stall outside. So when we put the Bhagavad Gita and the other books, one devotee came, one person came and he took the Bhagavad Gita, everything in Tamil. And he was searching for money and he was short of some amounts. Then he said, okay, I will go back to finish his work and he will come back. So no problem. We will be here up to 9 o'clock. You just go and then come back. We will be here and you take the book. Then he went and then he came back with his friend. After almost we are finishing the stall at 9 o'clock night. Then he took the book, not one, two books, Bhagavad Gita. So just by interacting with them, so say it's okay, no problem, you don't have money, you just go there and come back. So it makes them somewhat they feel that, okay, I can go and come back. They will.
In other words, because he trusted the person to be a gentleman, to be a man of honor, to keep his word, that's why the person felt obliged to come back. And not only by one book, but by two books, and he had a friend with him, so they both had a very good experience. So sometimes we say, what, you don't have the money? Come on, why don't you just say you don't want to buy it? Why are you making up all these excuses? Huh? Why are you lying to me? I can see you got money there. No? Sometimes we hear devotees talking like that. And then the people become fried, they become burned, and they don't want to take the books. And in fact, they don't want to have anything to do with the devotees. So, customer care is a very important part of every organization. We'll get more into customer care later on. Thank you for that. Next, number three. Does anybody have any negative experiences with customer care? Do you ever meet people? Yes, please.
It is slightly of a different nature. We were at Tiruvannamalai distributing books, and the rate at which we were distributing, and there were few devotees from some other temple, they were distributing upstream. They were doing it at different rate.
Oh, much different?
Some difference. And some freebies were there, and we were kind of, so you know, sometimes they will check there and they will check here and then say, you know, what's this? So I don't know what impression they will get.
Well, you know, what was the feeling you got? What is the impression you got? I mean, you're a very jolly person. You're a very happy fellow. But just hearing the story puts me in that situation. And I can feel the heat, you know? That look on people's faces, like, man, you're trying to rip me off or what? These guys are selling for this price. You're selling for this price. I mean, you know. You're trying to make a little money on the side here, huh? So did they buy from you? Was it a good day on Sankirtan?
Yeah, we did more numbers than what we did previous year. I mean, the numbers were so large. You know, there were almost some few lakh people who would visit that day.
But still, a little bit of disturbance was there, no?
At least few people who came and checked and who went off. Yeah. Not many. So, but all devotees are very, very disturbed. And their morale was, you know, shaken, you know.
Yeah.
Why we are doing this?
That's the thing. Even though your result might be there, books always go out. Krishna is very kind. He lets us get away with a lot. Sometimes he lets us get away with murder. That's an expression. It doesn't mean that we actually do it. I'm just saying, you commit something really bad, but Krishna, you know, he says, okay, he's sincere, he's trying. But it is not consistent. Because we have to have a consistent approach, consistent presentation to the public. And that means we can't be selling half price here, double price there, free next door. It will create confusion. Not only amongst the public, but amongst the devotees. And what happens when you have confusion on the battlefield? Any of you been in the army? Any of you served in the army? Government service? Huh? Yes. What happens when you have confusion on the battlefield? Tell us.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, you cannot act.
Huh?
Confusion, you cannot attack the
You cannot attack? Enemy. What's worse than that? You ever heard of friendly fire?
What is
friendly
that?
Fire. It means the own guys are shooting each other. Just like if you would get guns now and you would shoot each other, right? That's what happens. Have you ever been in a management meeting where you experienced friendly fire? Where your own guys were shooting each other?
Yes.
Instead of fighting the enemy, we fight each other? Has that ever happened to you? How did it make you feel? It's one thing to shoot yourself in the foot. You know, we do that sometimes, no? We shoot ourselves in the foot till we have no more toes. Huh? It becomes kind of hard to walk. But friendly fire is very unfortunate because it really creates an environment of distrust, of dislike, of, you know, what's going on here. Like, for instance, one party decides, okay, we're going to go to this temple and have a festival and distribute books. And then somebody hears about it. They get wind of it. And they go there earlier and set up stall. And they sell for cheap price because they got some subsidy. They have some money they can throw in. And then those devotees come and they see, oh, these guys are already here and they're selling for a different rate. How does that make you feel? Does that make you feel you're valued and you're taken serious and that it is teamwork here? No. It makes you feel horrible. These are my brothers. These are my people. And they're working against me. That has to be avoided at all costs. On the management level, on the leadership level, and also on the ground level. But you know, ground level always, everything follows the leader. The fish rots from its head. You heard that experience? The fish is rotting from the head? I think they eat some fish here in some places around here. Last time I came, it was flooded, and everybody was fishing on the side of the road. So everybody's aware of that example. So we have to make sure that the head is not doing those things. Then the arms and legs can follow nicely. So all these business of undercutting and bypassing and sabotaging and manipulating, that has to stop. It cannot happen. Otherwise, not only friendly fire and people get lost and people get shot, but people lose faith. You know, on a battlefield, when they feel like there is no direction, there is no clear vision, there is no leadership, everybody starts abandoning ship. They just, every man for himself, let's run. You know, what was it in the Bhagavatam? Vritrasura and Indra? You remember? And Indra attacked him powerfully, and all of Vritrasura's friends and followers They just all ran for themselves. They all got discouraged and ran away. And Ritrasura cursed them. And so this has to be avoided at all costs. Otherwise people will lose faith. They will lose heart. And once you lose heart, everything is lost. Next, point number 3. Who feels strongly about devotee welfare? Just keep the mics on. Don't turn them off all the time. Just leave them on. Otherwise, every person has to. There's one more mic there. This one's working.
Hare Krishna.
And number 3, ISKCON nurtures the spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional development of each book distributor by looking after their individual needs and providing them with realistic prospects.
Thank you. Any experiences, any stories, anything you like to share with us? Anybody? This is great audience participation. I know you have a lot of experience and a lot of realization on this topic. So please feel free to share. Yes, up here. Some of it might be positive, some of it might be negative, some of it might be painful, some of it might be joyful. We're not trying to criticize people, places, temples, individuals. We're studying here case scenarios. We're scientifically trying to analyze what went wrong, why it went wrong, and what we can do to rectify it, to make it better. Yes, please.
One book distributor, he went for book distribution. When he came back to the temple, somebody kept some prasadam for him, but one guest came, they distributed for him. But when he came back, he saw no prasadam. He feel uncomfortable, the situation.
You got the point? When the devotee went on Sankirtan, and when he came back, his prasadam was gone. He had given it to a guest. How did that make him feel? I don't think he only felt uncomfortable. I think he felt quite hungry. And on top of that, I think he felt let down. You know, his trust that these people are looking after me, these people are taking care of me, you know? Got kind of hurt. Any positive experience? Yes.
When I came for the first time to the ISKCON temple, I did not announce that I will stay longer, so I came with a bag and said I want to stay a few weeks in the temple. And the brahmachari was looking to me. He was a little bit surprised, but nothing said. He said to me, "Yes, no problem, you can stay and you can join the program, take prasadam, no problem." So I was very surprised by the behavior of the brahmachari and was very happy that I, without announcing or sent a letter, could stay in the ISKCON temple.
Thank you. So what can we conclude from this? I'd like you to make the conclusions. I already know. I've taught this course a few times. So, can somebody give us the conclusion on devotee welfare? Revati Raman Prabhu? Who is working very hard for devotee welfare and devotee care. They just spent countless hours in Mayapur, sitting in meetings, discussing, coming up with strategies and policies, how to improve and increase and sustain devotee welfare in ISKCON. How important is it? Please tell us.
Actually, it's one of the toughest subject I can say, the devotee care. And it's very, very tough, and it's not easy to please the devotees. It is easy to please the general people, but not the devotees. For so many reasons, actually. So it's very tough, actually. Say, we came out with this devotee care journal, we came out with the devotee care website, in so many aspects. And also we put a small table this time in Mayapur temple, and two of our brahmacharis, Vengarachalapati and Rakshagovinda, they were on the table. But actually they got the brunt, you know, when they were on the table, distributing the journals, just for the very meager price of 50 rupees a journal, the cost price. So just to create some awareness that GBC or the senior devotees of ISKCON wants to really care for the devotees in general around the world. That's the mood. Caring is there. But many devotees, they feel, I have not been cared for. What GBC has done, what the temple has done to me. This is the mood actually. But it's not so. Everybody is busy, everybody wants to care each other. Because ours is a very young moment. And people are trying to understand the whole dynamics of the moment. Trying to understand the whole psychology. Prabhupada is in a pure devotee, is an acharya. It's different actually. So when Rangarajarapati and Rakshab Govinda, they were on the table distributing the journals, the devotees to come near the table and see, oh, devotee care. Oh, you have started. At least now you have started. Devotee care. And any problem in Mayapur, they used to come to them.
How did that make you feel? Huh? You had a big list of points, huh? Afterwards, you gave all to him. Oh, he just...
Yeah, then they started...
They dump everything on you.
They started running to me and saying, Prabhu, they're saying, then I said, just take the complaints.
Now I know why your back is bad, you know?
So I told him, just take the complaints.
Yeah.
I mentioned the same in the GBC body. Like this, our devotees are facing this problem. Everybody's coming to them. And somebody's saying, oh, now the devotee care.
Yeah.
Okay, then the GBC body, some GBC members, they said, you got to tell them, better late than never. At least now we have started.
If you want to get a lot of attention, if you want to get a lot of traffic, just put a booth and put the big sign there, complaints. And you will see endless amounts of people coming, complaining.
So this is caring, like what Bhakta Alexander said. This caring, you know, just few kind, sweet words with a smiling face that will nurture the devotees. It will win their heart. This is very important. Few caring words with a smile, with open arms, it will help them a lot. That, of course, you know, I am trying to develop that. You know, we are all working on that very seriously. And by depending on Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, we can inculcate this quality.
Thank you. Devati Raman Prabhu. Okay, we're carrying on here. Number four. Somebody likes to read. You got the mic.
Hare Krishna. The fourth one, accurate representation. Members of the public evaluate ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna on the basis of their personal contact with the devotees.
Any experiences related to accurate representation? Yes, please. I'm sorry, I can't remember all your names. Sometimes I even forget my own name, but...
Hare Krishna. Few years back in our temple in Hyderabad, there used to be one devotee at the reception desk, and he would be very, very eager to see who is walking into the temple and ask their names, invite them to his cabin and ask for life membership even before they take darshan of the deities. So that used to be a regular affair. After some time he left, he wasn't there. after 10 years, I think 7-8 years, people would come and tell me, where is that person? Who, you know, we were very much afraid to come to the temple because of that person.
Afraid.
So some other devotees cultivated them, or someone really requested them to come to the temple, and then they came, and the first thing they would open is about this person. So it's a negative experience. Means their understanding of ISKCON is that ISKCON people are like squeezing money from us in the name of life membership. That's their first experience of ISKCON.
Yes, thank you. Revati Raman Prabhu.
So we grossly experienced this in Sakshi Gopal temple in Katak area, next to Jagannath temple, nearby Jagannath temple, the Sakshi Gopal temple. As people walk in, they all hawk on you, try to get the money. So much pressure, it creates so much havoc. So for some time, the government closed the temple for about 2 years. Again, they restarted, they changed the system. So actually, in our temple discussions, you know, we should discuss this. We should be very careful, ask for donations. We should be very careful. We should be very polite and very gentle. Otherwise, you know, we'll be bringing a bad name to the movement, to Srila Prabhupada. You know, this happens in many temples. Not exactly the money, in different ways, that we should take care.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember I came to India early 80s. We have a group of devotees from Switzerland. And I've been to India a couple of times, but I used to bring Swiss groups. And you know, you have new people who are like first time to India. So they're kind of naive, you know. They walk into the temple and yeah, they're all pure devotees. So okay, whatever you say, that's how it is. And I'm not going to tell which place it was, but the person who was sitting right there at the gate where everybody comes in would ask you, okay, what do you like to donate for? Do you want to change some money? You want to become, you know, member, do this, do that, do the other thing? So that devotee said, ah, okay, I need to change some money. And then he gave him very bad rate, you know, like really 20% less of the regular rate. And he didn't think much of it. He thought, you know, whatever, that's temple rate, hotel rate, whatever. But I went back to that person and I got it exchanged again because I said, you can't do this, you know? I mean, this person, you'll just fry him. You just lose faith. But that was standard policy. I know in some places, a lot of emphasis is given. Because like in every business, when you walk into the front door, the first person you meet is the person who really gives you the impression about the company, about who they are and what they do. So if you have, in some places, you have somebody who sits there, you know, with his feet on the table, and he goes, huh? 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 What do you want? You ever experienced that? And not just in businesses, sometimes also in temples, you know? Like the guy's busy with whatever he's doing and you feel like you're a total botheration. And it really reflects on the whole establishment to the point where we have to spend countless hours, countless amounts of money to try to create some goodwill, to try to train people, to try to bring some of our own members back to temples where they don't want to visit anymore. Because they say, you know, last three times I went there, I didn't get any service, or they mistreated me. So I don't want to come there. And then if you're affiliated with that place, or even we're affiliated with this movement, right? With this ISKCON movement. So we kind of take it personally. Huh? I mean, how would Srila Prabhupada feel? Like somebody goes to your house and is mistreated. How does that make you feel? Not very good, right? So that's exactly what's happening. When we allow people to mistreat the public or our own members in the name of Srila Prabhupada, that's what it does to us. You know, it's kind of like gives bad name to our family. And that is just not right. We should just not accept that. And I know people are busy and we have different agendas and sometimes people are not trained. But sometimes people are just not up for the job. There's some people who can be trained and some people who can't be trained. So they have to be changed. Huh? So, especially in hospitality, in the service industry, because remember, we are in the service industry. We're a service provider. We're providing service to people. What really counts is a friendly face and the attitude of, yes, we can. Like when you go to any business or any shop or any temple, you don't want them to explain to you how what you want is not possible. Like they try to, for half an hour to explain to you why what you want and need cannot be done. You ever experienced that? People try to explain to you logically why it's not possible to do what you want to do. But hey, isn't it? This is India. Everything's possible, right? Huh? So we should have the mood, we should have the attitude of, yes, let's make it happen. That means accurate representation, because people will evaluate ISKCON, Prabhupada and Krishna on a personal contact with the devotee. What does that mean practically? That practically means the person doesn't see that this is such and such Das or such and such Devi Dasi, but the person sees this is Prabhupada, this is Krishna, this is the ISKCON movement. So we're not giving ourselves a bad name, we're giving a bad name to Prabhupada, to Krishna, and to ISKCON movement. So many times that's underestimated, that's overlooked, and we think, oh, it's not so important, you know. This is not such an important job to be the front guy. You know, he's just the front guy. He's just the guy with the keys or the security guy. But you know, when I rolled in here yesterday night at 10:30, and I saw the security man standing there with a smile, and he knew that we were coming, and he had the keys ready for the room, I felt like, hey, the place is together, you know? In some places you come, and they go like, who? What? What do you want? I mean, it's 10:30, you know? Everybody's sleeping. You ever had that kind of experience? You just traveled half the globe? You just spent 1 lakh rupees? Huh? And 2 days to fly around the world, to go somewhere? And the person gives you this look? And nothing is arranged? So, it is really our job to make sure that each and every person is trained. And what does that mean for us as leaders and managers? It means that you gotta put on a different cap, a different hat sometimes, and just walk in the front door. And just go through the whole Hare Krishna experience like a new person. You pretend to be a new guy. And you just walk up, you know, to the bookstall, and maybe you just take a different dress, huh? Undercover, in disguise. Huh? Lord Ramachandra used to do that. So many people used to do that. Huh? So we have examples. And you just check out your entire operations of what it is like. You do the quality control. Hmm? So, accurate representation, very important. Srila Prabhupada used to give a lot of emphasis on this. He was very strong about accurate representation. Like also sometimes people, they say, are you Swami Narayan, or are you this or that or the other thing, Ramakrishna? And the devotee goes, yes, 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 just bye. It's okay, just bye. And then what happens? Have you ever had experiences like that? They ask, is this from Ramesh Baba or this Baba or that Baba? Yeah, yeah, sure. Just give me the money, take the book and go. And then later on they go home, they open the book, they see Prabhupada, ISKCON, this, that. They close it, they say, that's it, last time. Never want to have anything to do with those people. So we got to make sure that people get an accurate representation. Even at the cost of selling a few books less. Even at the cost of getting a few less donations. But on the long run, it will create so much more goodwill and results eventually. Point number 5.
Ideal character. All book distributors are expected to display ideal character and to interact with the public with politeness and respect.
Somebody likes to share some story? Yes.
So 7 years back, around, I think it's a DC meeting. Once Prabhu arranged.
Please speak loud and clear so we can all hear you.
So once I had a 7 years back and had a meeting here, some DC meeting, I think. So the next day, supposed to arrange darshan for the all members visiting devotees. So immediately Ravithan Prabhu informed to San Prabhu, just send him a vehicle to Tirumala and meet deputy officer. So arrange darshan for them. So before that, actually I used to go and meet that temple Peshkan. So to get a 30 Archant Darshan is very difficult actually. Somehow I went and just I gave Bhagavita and asked for the darshan tickets. And happily just he signed and immediately he gave to Sarang Prabhu. And Prabhu was very happy and he also very happy to give that service to the devotees. So actually, because we regularly used to go to that officer, executive officer, I think.
Please give the point. What's the conclusion?
So he impressed, you know, because...
He was impressed because he saw your exemplary behavior. A regular rapport. Yes. Okay.
So to get 30 Archanda tickets means that time, 7 years back, is very difficult actually.
Okay, I didn't know that.
30 Archana tickets of Balaji.
Archanandra.
Like standing for Prime Minister's post.
Wow.
7 years back.
So such a big thing there. So you got
it. Okay. So because you could provide a service which nobody else could provide, people took you very seriously.
Emergency. Next day.
Okay. Thank you for that. Now is that ideal character or is that just skill?
You mean duty is politeness and respect?
Politeness and respect, yes. Any negative experiences? You still have some of that look from Mayapur, you know. Huh? It's not me. I'm one of the good guys. Because usually he's very blissful, you know. He's a very ecstatic devotee. But sometimes people come and they drop all their stuff on you, you know. And you're like... Now you realize what it means to be in management, you know. People come every day and they say, you know... Can I pour some of that grief on you, you know?
When we are distributing this devotee care magazine in Mayapur,
yes.
The pilgrims came to the stall. They are seeing all the stalls. They are all very costly things in the bookstall, in the courtyard of Mayapur. And they saw our devotee care magazine and suggestions book. And they said to me, Swamiji, you are telling ISKCON is so lovely society, but why you are giving more prices? If some even Lord comes also, you will take money.
If who comes?
Krishna comes also, you will take money. Like that they are shouting. Why? Because and devotee comes with cameras and cell phones, our management is allowing. But when the outside people comes, they are not, you know, entering the cell phones and cameras. They have to pay 5 rupees outside. What is this? You know, you should tell to your management. Okay. they'll complain to me. Okay, we will tell to management.
Yeah.
Like that, they'll lose their respect mainly. They don't know what is inside, but they'll lose their respect. Next time they won't come.
Because the experience they had was not consistent. Like, you deal with the public in one way, but you deal with the devotees in another way, and everybody is doing it in a different way. Like you have seen in so many places, there is entry and exit. And how many times have we seen hundreds and hundreds of devotees just go in through the exit? put their shoes there, big pile of shoes, not going through security check, nothing, talking on mobiles in the temple room, and there's big signs, you know, no mobiles, don't take pictures, don't do this, don't do that. It just creates a double standard. And people are not ready to accept that. Why? Because in Kali Yuga, the last leg of Dharma is truthfulness. And they feel if you're not truthful, then you've lost it all. Then it's all gone. So, to be truthful is highly regarded. To be authentic. That's what people are looking for. Even if it costs us a little bit. You know, it costs you. You have to take a little detour and you have to actually go through the security check and, you know, put the shoes in the stall and do the things the way everybody else is supposed to do them. That is ideal character. Like, I just flew from Bhubaneswar through Hyderabad to Mumbai. And there was a big check-in area. There was three counters. And only one of them said Mumbai. So there was a huge line of people, like in India, when there is a huge line, everybody goes behind the line, like naturally, it's like a tradition, it's a sport. So they all, but because I'm from a different culture, from a different tradition, I walked up to the counter where there was no sign, but there was some people there, and I said, can I check in here for Mumbai? And they said, yeah, sure, why not? And I felt very happy because I just checked in very easily. But I was in Dodi with Tilak and Sika, and all these other people, they're looking. What is this guy doing here? You know? He's smart, right? So some might appreciate, but I think most of them will not appreciate. Most of them will say, who is this fellow? You know, who does he think he is? We're all nicely waiting in line, and here he's just, you know, playing smart like that. So I was very happy that I could check in quickly, but I still have to wait for the plane like everybody else. Because, you know, you all get there in the same time. Even the guy who already jumps up, as soon as the plane touches on the ground, before it even stops, they jump up and try to take the... Everybody gets there in the same time, you know. So, and then, I went through security check. Everybody was sitting in the boarding area. And then as soon as they start announcing, we announce the flight, such and such, everybody jumps up, no? Like there is fire on their seat or something. And they make a huge queue all the way back to the security check. And then my spiritual master, he got up and he walked past everybody to the end of the line. And now he had to wait a little longer. Now, of course, I followed him. But he had to wait a little longer. But he gave the example that, you know, it's okay. There's no hurry. There's no rush. And I could see that he was teaching me. Don't rush it. Don't think you can, you know, do it the smart way. Because many times people are seeing, they're watching, and they will have a perception on what they see. Because our actions speak louder than our words. You ever heard that? Actions speak louder than words. You're screaming so loud at me that I can't hear you speak. Your actions scream so loud at me that I can't hear you speak. By the way we act, by the way we do things, that is much more perceivable than what we actually say. Did you know that? Well, we get to that later on. Yes. Yeah, of course.
I heard it once.
I heard once Srila Prabhupada was in a Western country and he was about to give some TV interview. And he went late night, the shooting was late night, and the devotees took him to the TV channel. Since it was late, they parked the vehicle behind that back entry, and they parked the vehicle and asked Srila Prabhupada to get down. And it was late and nobody was there on the road. So Srila Prabhupada says, no, I won't get down here. Please park the vehicle in front. The devotee said, no, Prabhupada, you can get down here because nobody is there. You can just walk in the back door. But Srila Prabhupada says, no, see, the outside it says no parking. So you have to park. I cannot get down here. So you just take the vehicle, park it in front, and then I will get down. So this is what Prabhupada stood as a character. Even though it's late night and nobody was there, and the car was parked in the no parking, still he was not get down on the from the vehicle. It was parked in the no parking area.
Because Prabhupada was a man of principle.
Just he stood as an example for yeah. these things.
Even if it means you have to go the extra mile.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Thanks for sharing. Number six, honesty. Can you have some volunteers for a reading? Anybody? I don't want to volunteer you. You have to volunteer for yourself.
Six, honesty. Devotees should be scrupulously honest in all their dealings with the public.
Any positive or negative experiences in honesty? Just leave the mics on, don't switch them off, yes.
It's about 2 years back, I was traveling in train, and I just went into the train and sat in my seat. And the TT came and asked me, where is your ticket? I showed him the ticket. Unfortunately, what happened was, my ticket was booked for yesterday and I boarded on today. I didn't know that. I thought the ticket is on the same day. So I was very confident and I was sitting, and fortunately the seat was also empty at that time. So the TTs showed me the ticket. Swamiji, this ticket is yesterday's ticket. So it is invalid. So he was expecting some kind of a bribe from me, something like that. Then I asked him, what is the cost of the, you know, value of the ticket? So he said something, 500 or 600 rupees. So I was just about to take this money and about to give him. He was taken aback. And he said, no, you already paid for it yesterday. You didn't know that it was yesterday's ticket. So don't pay. I said, no problem, please take it. He said, no, you already paid to the railways. Why you want to pay again? And he was so impressed and he said, don't worry, I'll come all the way to the gate and drop you out and then I get back. And he came all the way to the gate and sent me out and then came back. I gave him a little prasad.
After you took the train?
Yeah.
To make sure that you didn't have any trouble to get off.
Through others.
Yeah. Very nice.
The other thing is that there were others who didn't have tickets, who didn't have reservation. They were bribing him with 20 rupees, 30 rupees, etc. Although the charge was 100 rupees. So he was taking 20, 30, 40 like this. When he came to me, I was ready to give him 600 rupees. Not as a bribe, but the actual money.
Yeah.
So I was quite impressed with that.
You're not trying to justify and all
this. Yeah, yeah, I just accepted it. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Now usually the word scrupulous, you know, we use it in a different context. Huh? A person without scruple. No scruples, you know, ruthless. Any negative experiences from honesty? Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. I was visiting one of the ISKCON temples, and that was my second visit to the temple. And I ended up purchasing some incense from the Sankirtan shop, and I gave a 100 rupees note, and it actually costed me 40 rupees. So the devotee was supposed to return me 60 rupees. But then he very coolly, he took 100 rupees, he kept it inside, and he said, I don't have change, you can take other books. So I mean, that was a very shocking experience for me, and from that time onward, it took some time for me to actually start visiting the Sankirtan bookstall again.
How did that make you feel?
That I was very high on my guards whenever I used to visit these ISKCON temples, because these people, they don't, I mean, I don't know where they will ask me for more money. And so.
Now in some places I know these kind of things are instituted like policy, you know, that this is like, we call this the change up. You change somebody up, you know, you say, okay, we don't have change, but we can give you something else. Or why don't you just give the rest as a donation for the good cause, like that. But it delayed her spiritual progress. It delayed her eagerness to interact more with the devotees and to come faster to Krishna consciousness. So we can see how people's spiritual lives, spiritual progress, are actually hampered by these types of techniques. Now, for your luck, you're here and you made it. You know, congratulations. But for every person who makes it, there are quite a big number of people who didn't make it because they were not as tolerant, they were not as persistent, they were not as enthusiastic to carry on despite all shortcomings. Now we may say, oh, they're not sincere, you know, they're just demons, they can't appreciate, but it's not the case. Actually, we are just immature. We are just not giving them what we're supposed to give them. Now that's very unfortunate. If somebody actually comes to get spiritual knowledge and to get a positive experience, but instead of getting that, they get a negative experience, that's very unfortunate. So we got to make double sure that this doesn't happen in our centers, in our communities, in our own personal lives. Because sometimes we feel like we've been shortchanged, no? By some other devotee or by some authority. Now don't allow that to happen to you. Stand up for yourself. Say, no, this is not right. And don't do it to others. Because if you allow it to happen to you, most likely because you accept it, at one point, you will also do it to others. Thank you. Point number 7, sound spiritual practice. In the back, ladies, somebody likes to read.
7th one, sound spiritual practice. Consistently good sadhana is an essential source of strength, inspiration and character development for the book distribution and should not be neglected.
Thank you. Any positive or negative experiences in regards to sound spiritual practice? Yes. Pass the mic, please.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Regarding this point, it always helps a book distributor attending Mangalarti and chanting 16 rounds before going to book distribution. It makes a lot of difference. Like he is always successful in the day service of book distribution.
Thank you. You have a practical example of this?
Yeah. And also I always advised by seniors for doing like this kind of sadhana.
Okay, thank you. Somebody has some personal note they like to share with us, something positive or negative in regards to sound spiritual practice? Yes, Revati Ramana Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. There are many in our temple. There's a very serious in morning sadhana program. One example is Bhakta Alexander from Belgium, who gets up every day 2:30 in the morning. He chants his rounds, then he comes to the temple hall. He tries to complete the rounds, many rounds. And then during the chanting time, he sits with the devotees and chants a few more rounds. In the leftover time, he sits and reads Bhagavad Gita and makes notes every day. And I see he's very serious in his spiritual life and very consistent in book distribution. very good exemplary devotees.
Thank you. Any other examples? Yes.
Yes, I was in Europe. I did traveling Sankirtan. And one day I could not get up. It was very difficult. And other devotees, they went out of bed, but somehow other, it was very difficult. So 7 o'clock I came out of bed, but I did also don't have a desire for chanting. It's very, and the whole day I did no desire for book distribution. So I saw the relationship with chanting and book distribution.
Thank you for sharing. So we can see that this is one of our principles and values. Everything is based on sound spiritual practice. Consistently good sadhana. This is not just for a book distributor, this is for any devotee. Whether you be in management, or you be on the ground, or you be up in the air. Consistently good sadhana. It is essential. I've been so many times on traveling Sankirtan and I saw devotees who were lack in their sadhana. And they did not have the push, they did not have the force, they did not have the shakti to actually get through to the people. Yes, please.
I remember Srila Prabhupada giving on two occasions giving the same instruction. I think one is to Rohini Sutta Prabhu, when he asked Srila Prabhupada, how can one become an empowered book distributor? And Srila Prabhupada said, chant all your 16 rounds at once, attentively. Then you can be an empowered book distributor.
Very nice. Yes, Prabhupada said, you just sit down and you chant your 16 rounds without getting up. Then your book distribution will increase, like anything. Thank you. Point number 8.
Regular study. Book distribution should be conversant with Srila Prabhupada's books through regular study and should thus become expert in presenting and selling books on their own merit.
Any experiences in this regard? Yes.
One of the Prabhupada disciples, his name is Akhiladhar Prabhu. He used to, sometime he is in Padayatra in India also. He read Srila Prabhupada book, like the Krishna book, like more than 80 times, and Bhagavad Gita like 100 times, Bhagavatam 3 times, 4 times. But he is so much inspired by Prabhupada. Then even he distributed some books as which is he don't know that language, but still he know what is there in that book. He say in the, there is a sloka from Bhagavad Gita like this. He quote to devotees, and the local people see, oh, he study the local language, and they inspire to get books.
Very good, thank you. Many times people will ask our preachers, our book distributors, well, what does it say there? In your book, you know about that banyan tree? With the roots going up and the branches going down, how does that work? It's not possible, is it? I mean, have you ever seen a tree where the roots go up and the branches go down? And then the devotee might say, what are you talking about? This is Bhagavad Gita. This is not botany. This is not about trees. But it's there, you know, 15th chapter. So then they'll see this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And then sometimes the devotee says, you know, my guru, he has written these books for you to read and for me to sell. So I'm selling and you're reading, okay? You know, like division of labor. We separate the job. Huh? Outsource. Like somebody is chanting my rounds, somebody is doing my reading, somebody is doing my puja, somebody is doing my cooking. I am only counting the cash. But how long can that go on? It doesn't really happen. Because people will not believe what we say. They will believe what we do. They will see what we do, and that's exactly what they're going to do. So if we're reading, they're going to be reading. And now you are the leaders. You are the ones who are the examples. So you can't tell everybody, yes, you must read. You have to read. It's very important for you. Very good. But if we don't do it ourselves, how much strength will be there? Huh? Like the doctor who told the kid not to eat any sugar? He said, you come back afterwards? Because otherwise my teaching will not have any strength. In the same way, not that we are teachers who say, do as I say, but not as I do. Huh? And secretly we're doing so many other things. So we have to be consistent in our approach. Because people will appreciate Srila Prabhupada's books the more we appreciate them. So that means regular study. We'll have a session this afternoon just dedicated about studying Prabhupada's books, and we'll discuss more on that. Point number 9. Any volunteers?
Harmony with other services. A mature book distributor appreciates the value of each devotee and their unique contribution and comprehends how all services are interdependent.
Any experiences in this regard? Like personally speaking, I know some of our pujaris are very, very dedicated and very mature in their service. And they're very happy and supportive for the preaching and for the book distributors. And they make sure that the book distributors are getting the garlands and they're getting the maha and they're getting the encouragement and the good words. So even though they themselves are doing something else, they're engaged in worshiping the Lord. But because they give so much appreciation to other devotees, the other devotees are so inspired. Now the question is, are the preachers or are we as book distributors also doing that to other devotees? Are we also going to the cooks and saying, Prabhu, that was a great Sunday feast, you know? Or do we just say, you know, one day, if the Lord is kind on you, maybe in your next life, you will also become a book distributor. Huh? You see the difference? The difference in attitude? Huh? So that is required. Because our culture is a culture of appreciation. And not that we just appreciate other devotees. We have to learn how to appreciate the other people. The people out there, the people who we meet every day. Because if you want to know a little secret, if you appreciate people, what happens? They will appreciate you. And they will appreciate what you want to give them. If you neglect people, they will neglect you. And they will neglect what you want to give them. If we don't show appreciation to each other, then how can we show appreciation to outsiders? It's not possible. So basically, it's coming from immaturity, from short-sightedness. So to appreciate and value other devotees, their unique contribution, and to understand how all these services are interdependent is extremely essential. This is one of our principles and values. Unless we have that kind of an appreciation, our movement cannot grow. We cannot really get anywhere. Because we will always be very one-sided, very weak on other sides. And number 10, systematic training and education. Can we have a volunteer, please?
Systematic training and education. Systematic training and education is essential in equipping the devotees engaged in book distribution with A. knowledge of the subject, B. necessary skills to perform that service, C. values and attitudes consistent with a representative of Krishna consciousness.
Any personal experiences with systematic training education, the positive benefits and effects it had on you, or the lack of systematic training and education? Would anyone like to share with the class some of their personal, heartfelt experiences? Please. You've all been through a few courses. This is like Leeds course number, how many? How many courses you have already done in Leeds? Four? This is fourth. So three you have done so far. So what did you get out of these three? Did you feel that, yeah, you know, this is a good thing, let's do this. This helps me in my devotional life, in my service, in my development as a devotee? What's your feeling? Or you're just sitting here because, hey, you know, it's part of the game and, you know, it kind of like comes with the job, you know. It's like, you just have to go along with it. I mean, it's like in school, no? You can either just get a window seat and you start doing your own things, or you can actually get into the topic and get something out of it. Yes, please.
I'd like to add the point number B, necessary skill to perform that service. So when I joined in ISKCON Sri Rangam, I used to take two Bhagavad Gita, two Krishna books, and two sets of small books for distributing. I used to do like 2-3 months. After that, Sangadari Prabhu, he came to Sri Rangam, and he took me once. He asked, take 14 Bhagavad Gita and 5 sets of small books. But I couldn't believe, but just I followed. And he took me to the different offices and explained how to distribute things. Then I followed him, then we could distribute more books and I got faith. Because previously I don't know, only if these books we could do distribute. Because he thought that the skill, how to distribute, how to convince. And he also told, you used to have your own the visiting card, then you can present to the officials and you can say we are representing so and so, and then can present systematically, then you will get success.
And your distribution improved?
Yes.
And your
faith improved.
Faith improved and your experience in the whole process improved. Very good. Anyone else likes to share something about systematic training in education or lack of thereof? Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I connect this with this 9th and 10th, both the points, that I am not a book distributor, but I got all the encouragement and appreciation by all the book distributors who are in our temple, that when I am feeling that I am not a book distributor, but they encouraged me that you are helping us in so many ways, that you are providing the facilities, and they are telling you are helped in building this temple. And again, in this systematic training and education, and Revati Raman Prabhu encouraged me in all the courses, and he allowed me to attend to help in book distribution and other products of Srila Prabhupada.
How does that make you feel?
I'm very happy that I'm part of this project, and
I'm very happy to hear that you're very happy.
Thank you. Thanks.
Because I like to see happy devotees. It makes me happy. And it doesn't just sound nice, you know? It's actually something really important. I joined ISKCON in 1984. I don't know how many of you have been through the 80s, but the mood was you produce results, you work. Huh? So I joined on a Thursday, and on a Sunday we went on traveling Sankirtan, and I never stopped for 15 years. So there was no training. It was just, Krishna will teach you in the heart. So we drop you in the morning, 8 o'clock, and we pick you up evening time, 8 o'clock. And it was swim or sink, you know? So you learn to swim. And some, they sunk. They didn't show up anymore. In the evening, 8 o'clock, they were not there. They were gone. You think it's funny, but it was not very funny, you know? People gave their lives, but they felt like, hey, I can't do this. This is too much. Nobody shows me what to do. It's like, you know, you give somebody a gun and you say, go out there, fight. And he's like, Okay, how to hold this? What to do with this? You know, what do you do? Well, you shoot. Okay, but how and who and where? Oh, you'll figure it out. Just run out there and go. So the mood was, let's get results. Everybody out. Just maximum emphasis. And of course, some people were a bit more helpful, a bit more kind and considerate, and others less. But still, the overall tendency was very result-driven, project-oriented, not people-oriented. So even though projects came, people came and went. People came and went. And eventually even the projects went. Because if you have a project, but you have no people, and nobody can take care of the project. So then the projects also went. So we bought farms, and we invested a lot of money, and then they went. And then we got new property, and we built it up, and then they gone. Because people were constantly coming and going and coming and going. Because people were never really having the experience that, hey, somebody likes me to be here, you know? Somebody wants me to actually be here. Somebody wants me to be part of this. They actually take time and trouble and effort to train me. It's like my father. He was a headmaster in a school in Switzerland near Zurich for 40 years. Now, even though he was the headmaster of the school, every year for 2 weeks, he had to go to refresher courses where he was a student, where he had to learn new modules, new ways of dealing with students and teachers, new didactics. So even though he was a 60-year-old man, still, every year, 2 weeks, he had to go and be a student. Now, why is it so that our members think, oh, I got initiation, first initiation, Brahman initiation, you know, I'm okay. I've reached the platform of maturity. Why is it so that we think, oh, I'm in leadership now, I'm a president, I'm a senior this, I'm a senior that, everything, that's it. I have achieved the position. Now, from now on, it's just going to be play it safe. Keep the ball flat. And don't make any moves. Huh? Don't rock out. Don't create any disturbance. No. If we actually take this seriously and we start on giving training and education to ourselves and to all the members of our communities, what will happen? People will start taking you seriously. People will actually be encouraged. People will actually be indebted. They'll be, you know, like I hear from this Prabhu, there's a lot of gratitude because he feels he's taken seriously. People take care of him. And taking care of somebody doesn't just mean they have a place to sleep and they have some food and some clothes to wear. But it means that people are mentally, emotionally, psychologically, intellectually, and of course spiritually cared for. So this is the challenge which we're facing as leaders in this ISKCON movement. Now we know there is study of books, there is chanting of japa, there is sankirtan, there's so many activities which have to go on and have to be performed. And sometimes there's too many activities and we can't do them all. And we are just running short in time. But you know what you have to do sometimes? Sometimes you have to stop doing what you're doing and take a step or two back and analyze and see, what am I actually doing? Am I doing it right? What can I do to improve it? So some devotees, like when I was the minister of book distribution from about 1992 till 2000, I was on the GBC body and I made it a law that this 5-day course, which you're taking right now, is a mandatory course for all full-time book distributors. In other words, everybody who goes out as a main service to distribute Prabhupada's books has to pass this course with certification. Otherwise, they should not be allowed on the street. Now, we had to fight a lot of opposition to get that through. But you know, education, you can't legislate it. Also, preaching, you can't legislate it. We have so many things which are required, so many things which we tell, yes, you must do this, you must do that, you must do the other thing. But people will not buy into this strategy unless they feel, yes, this is good, this is valuable, this should be done. Now, when I was the minister, I trained 150 teachers to teach these courses all over the world. And a few hundreds of students took these courses and got certified and got the benefit from it. But I heard the argument over and over from so many distributors and especially managers, temple presidents. You know, Prabhu, it doesn't make any sense. Why should we sit in a classroom for 5 days to learn about book distribution? Why don't we just go out and do it? You ever heard that argument? Huh? Why do we sit here and listen and talk and take papers and notes and tests and all that stuff? I mean, after all, you know, I'm 42 years old now. And I'm past all this college time and tests and, you know, all that rah-rah stuff. Let's just do it, isn't it? I mean, it's easy. The books are there. The people are there. Let's just run out there and do it. I'm all for it. It's great. But the problem is the people who thought like that, they're not around anymore. They're not here. They're gone. They ran out, but they didn't come back. We want the people to come back. We want them to feel actually we're part of this movement and we can do something to make a difference on a bigger perspective. So, you might say, how do you counter this argument? Because, I mean, this person's got a point, isn't it? Why do you sit here for 5 days taking a course on book distribution if you could be out? I mean, let's face it, we are 30 people here. If you would go out 5 days, that would be 150 days of book distribution. I mean, you're all strong and young and intellectual and smart and spiritually empowered. So we would distribute a good number of books, isn't it? But if you take this course and you get to the bottom of things, if it gets you inspired to think more deeply, more profoundly about just this one point, these principles and values, just this thing, and it gets you motivated to systematically train, educate, and nurture the devotees in your care, how many books do you think you can distribute? If we would all go out for 5 days, the 30 of us, I'm sure we could pass out a couple of hundred, if not 1,000 or 2,000 books. I'm convinced. Because we can still do it, right? I mean, Revati and me, you know, we're a team and like that. But if you all actually take this course, implement it in your own lives, and help others to do book distribution, what do you think? How many books can be distributed? What do you think?
Unlimited.
Unlimited. That's quite generous. What do you think? Can we make a difference? Does it matter? It does. It does. Because at the end of the day, it's not about the score. You see, Krishna doesn't hear just the numbers. Krishna sees the endeavor. He's Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He takes the essence. He sees the endeavor. So if he sees your endeavor to nurture, care, facilitate, enthuse, inspire, and train all the devotees in your care, even though you might even not go out yourself to distribute books, you will get the big mercy. First of all, you get the mercy of all the book distributors. And you know how much mercy they're getting. So they have a lot of mercy to give. Now we want that mercy. In fact, that's why we're teaching these courses. Because if you just go out and distribute, you can do maybe 20, maybe 50. If you're skillful and hardworking, you can maybe do 100 books a day. And that's great. That's wonderful. But if you could get 500 people in your congregation, who has 500 people in their congregation here? You have. Who's got 100? Who's got 50? you all got 20 or 50 people, right, on an average. So like, what do you prefer? Do you prefer, how many brahmacharis you got here doing books now?
40.
Do you prefer 40 people doing, what's the average of books they're doing per person? 20? Per person, that's 20. Yeah. Do you prefer to have 40 people doing 20 books a day, 5 days a week? Or do you prefer to have 500 people doing 5 books a week? You tell me. Who prefers 40 brahmacharis? Who prefers 500 congregational members? Who abstains? Do you have any other solution? He already said, both. Both is the answer. It's like when they ask you in the feast, no, do you want ras malai or samosa? What's your answer? Both. You see, you want both. We need both. We want 100 brahmachari book distributors here in Tirupati. Distributing. Right, Revati Prabhu? Is it 100 or 200?
Yeah, 100 brahmacharis.
100 brahmacharis, yes. 100 brahmacharis full-time distributing. And how many congregational members? 50. We're doing books. But we could be having 500 or 5,000. It's unlimited. You see? So try to see the bigger picture. It's not a matter of how fast you talk, how fast you run, how high you jump. It's a question of whether you see the issues, the bigger picture. That's the duty of a leader. That's the duty of a person who can empower others, who can train others, who can care for them and nourish them. So, your homework for tomorrow is to fill out the principles and values sheet, which is at the end of your student handbooks on page 29. There's a worksheet. That's the one I'm missing here. Anyway. So, there is questions like long-term vision. Do I have long-term goals? Do I resist the temptation of short-term results when they conflict with long-term goals? And you give yourself a mark between 0 and 10. 0 is if you just don't care about it. You know, it's just like it doesn't really ring a bell. And 10 if you think like, yes, this is, I'm really taking care of this one. So, give yourself a mark, so you fill out this worksheet, and at the end there is 2 questions. Where specifically do I feel I need to improve, and how will I do this? Any questions to the homework? Okay. Thank you for your participation. We'll break here for 1 hour, and we'll continue back at 2 o'clock sharp for the second half. For lessons number 3 and 4 of today. Thank you very much. All good, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
So our temple program schedule and the seminar schedule just I wanted to inform. So every day is 4:15 is Mangalarti and 7 a.m. is Srimad Bhagavatam Arati and 8:15 to 9 o'clock is Srila Prabhupada Arati and Kirtan. And 9 o'clock prasadam will be ready. We request everybody to honor the prasadam and come to the conference hall by 10 a.m. And evening 5 p.m. will be the prasadam for everybody. That will be up to 6 p.m. And hot milk will be distributed at 8:30 p.m. Hare Krishna.